With your permission, I'll call the court.
Thank you, Mr. Block. Good morning. I'm Judge Bartley, and I'm joined today via video conference by Judge Allen and Judge Falvey. We're here for the matter of Fred W. Foster versus Dennis McDonough, docket number 19-7442. Counsel for the parties, please state your name and your appearance for the record, beginning with appellant's counsel.
Corey Creek from Bergman & Moore on behalf of the appellant, Fred Foster. With me as co-counsel is Tom Pulsano.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Creek. And Secretary's counsel?
Yes, I'm Brent Boker for the Secretary, and I'm joined by Ken Walsh.
Thank you, Mr. Boker. And welcome to both second chairs. Each party will have 30 minutes to present their arguments. Mr. Creek, I understand that you would like to reserve 10 minutes for rebuttal.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, we will make that happen. And Mr. Creek, you may proceed when you're ready.
Good morning, and thank you, Your Honors. Chief Judge Bartley, may it please the court. The 100% rating under 7528 is not automatically reduced by operation of law because of the mandatory examination requirement. The mandatory examination requirement implicitly implicates the regulations discussed in Brown that require every examination to adequately inform the board as to the nature and severity of the disability, and with respect to total ratings, that the examination show whether there has been material improvement. Because those regulations apply, and the board was required to make two factual findings set forth in Brown. Because the board failed to do so, reversal and reinstatement of the 100% rating is the appropriate remedy here. Starting with the plain language of 7528, it's clear from the plain language that there is no temporal or automatic component because it says the 100% rating shall continue with a mandatory examination sometime after 6 months following cessation of treatment. It also says that any change in the rating will be made pursuant to certain notice procedures. So the 100% rating shall continue until a medical exam shows that the 100% rating is no longer warranted.
Now, Mr. Creek, you're trying to distinguish your case from Rossiello with that very point, right?
Yes.
Okay. And is your point essentially that if there's some kind of process that is required after the temporal element is mentioned, that the temporal element essentially is no longer controlling this process? So you would distinguish it from Rossiello that way. And instead of the temporal element triggering the reduction, it is the process that is occurring after the temporal period, the time period expires, that is the trigger for the reduction.
Correct, Your Honor. In this case, the mandatory VA examination.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That initiates the process. So the 100% rating shall continue until a medical examination shows that the total rating is no longer warranted. And the phrase, any change, means that a change in rating is not necessary, will not necessarily occur. In contrast, before 7528 was revised, it said the rating will be continued for 1 year following cessation of treatment. And at this point, the rating will be made on residuals if there is no recurrence or metastasis.
So, Mr. Creek, if I can just interrupt you here again. Let's say we agree with you that the cessation was not automatic upon the expiration of the time period that was mentioned in the DC, but that it was triggered by the process that had to occur then, including notice under 3.105E. How does that get you to where you want to go, which is having 3.343 and 3.344 apply in this case? I'm a little confused. I'm with you about the trigger and that it wasn't automatic, but how do you get to 3.343 and 4.4?
So initially, I should clarify that 3.344, we would agree, does not apply in this case because the rating was not, the 100% rating was not in effect for the 5-year duration. We do believe that 3.343A applies because it's a total rating. In addition to that regulation, the regulations cited by Brown, 4.1, 4.2, 4.10, 4.13, all apply. All of those go to the examination requirements.
And I hate to interrupt you again, but the argument about 4.1 and 4.2 and 4.10 and 4.13, whatever, those lower Part 4 regs, did you make that argument in your initial brief, or was that just in your reply?
We cited to Brown and those regulations in the initial brief. We expanded on it more in the reply. But getting back to answer your question, those regulations were discussed in Brown, and Brown set forth the two factors or the two factual findings that must be made in any rating reduction case, and that's that an actual change in disability has occurred and that actual change reflects improvement in functioning under the ordinary conditions of life and work. And the board, because it failed to recognize that this is a rating reduction to begin with, did not make those factual findings here.
So you're arguing that this, how you get from the DC, which if let's say we would agree with you that Rossiello doesn't bind us here because that trigger is different. The trigger is not the time period. The trigger is the process, the results of the process that occur. You would just say that it's basically automatic that the usual reduction rules kick in. There's no step by step that I'm missing here. By the normal rules for reduction, I mean 3.343 and 4.4.
Well, those depend on certain ratings. 3.343 is total ratings, and then 3.344 is the duration of the rating. So those don't always apply. They apply, the 3.343 applies to Mr. Foster's 100% total rating, and then in addition to the Brown regulations. So again, we're saying that 3.344 doesn't apply. What that leads to is the examination requirement, and that the examination needs to be adequate to inform the board as to the questions of whether, number one, there's still an active malignancy, number two, whether there's been recurrence, or whether there's been spread of cancer.
Mr. Creek?
Yes.
Judge Allen, I was just... So here's how I was sort of thinking about this, and I just want to get your reaction. So on the one hand, we have, I'm just going to call them garden variety ratings, right? Meaning you get a rating, it's at a percentage. So the classic, if that is going to be reduced, everybody agrees all of the Brown and all of these regulations apply. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Okay. Then in my world, we have... we can call it temporal, we can call it automatic. I'm thinking of something like a knee replacement where you get X rating for Y period of time, and then the regulation itself says it goes away, right?
Right.
Okay, well, why wouldn't we think of this regulation, this DC, as being something else? It doesn't have to be either one of those two things. It's a package. So you are assigned a 100% rating. And then following on what the chief judge was saying, there's a process that occurs. That process is built into the rating so that after 6 months, you have an exam. And the purpose of the exam, as you just said, is to determine whether or not there's, you know, it's still ongoing. Has it metastasized? Has it recurred if it had gone away? if any of those three things are found, we keep going with 100%, just like happened with Mr. Foster. However, if any of those things, if all of those things are absent, the regulation tells us what we do. We rate on voiding or renal, right? But the idea being that it's not the classic reduction because it's all part of a package that you get when you get the 100%. We all know that's going to happen. And VA has made the notice requirements of 3.105E applicable so that the veteran is informed about what's going on, right? We're reducing, quote, reducing from 100 because there is no metastasis, there is no recurrence, et cetera. What's wrong with looking at this regulation like that?
If Brown applies to any rating reduction, including the one at issue here, then yes, the first part, whether there's an absence of malignancy or whatever on, shown by the exam, that would be an actual change in the condition. But then the finding also would need to be made that there's been an improvement in functioning under the ordinary conditions of life and work.
Well, but that's sort of assuming the answer to the question that we're here to talk about, right? Because you're right, if Brown applies, then our job is very easy, and I'll be glad to take this opinion to write. But the question is, why is this not different than the situation Brown is talking about, which is just the classic reduction? You have a rating of 60%, VA thinks it should be 40%. Okay, clearly a reduction. This is a reduction in the English use of the word reduction. But the question is it really the same thing when at the time you are assigned the 100% rating, my words now, it comes with conditions attached. It tells us what's going to happen. After 6 months, there'll be an exam to look at these three things. If the three things aren't present, then it tells us how we rate. It's just difficult for me to see how that is a classic reduction in the way that Brown was talking about. And so I was trying to get you to explain to me, not just saying Brown says this, but why we should connect this to Brown.
It would still go back to the examination, and I apply it to this case in particular as far as the findings. So this examiner, the examination that the reduction was based off found remission, but there was no basis for that finding included in the report because there was no records review, and the treatment records actually don't say anything that the cancer was in remission. And so that finding is unclear on its own. So the basis
for then, if that were right, let's just assume that that's right. We don't have to answer the question about whether Brown applies, because even on the version of the regulation that I have articulated, you're saying the exam is inadequate for that purpose. Did you make that argument in your brief?
We argued it as the prejudice aspect of it, that the board erred as a matter of law by not recognizing that it was a rating reduction and not applying the regulation cited by Brown. And then the prejudice to that was it didn't recognize that the examination was inadequate to reduce the 100% rating.
I'm sorry, it's probably me that I didn't follow that. You don't need Brown to apply if what you just said about the exam is correct, right? In other words, if this exam is inadequate because it didn't determine that the condition was in remission, I'm just shorthanding your point. It's the reduction from 100% is simply not applicable or was inappropriate under even the narrow version of what this regulation does, right?
Correct.
Thank you.
If I, this is Judge Falvey. If I could ask a follow-up question. In Judge Allen's casting of the possible scenarios that, you know, this run-of-the-mill reduction case to his package regulation. How do you deal with just a general canon of interpretation that the specific governs over the general. Here we have a specific regulation that talks about how to deal with a reduction from the full-blown prostate cancer to cancer treated in remission, and now we're going to rate on residuals. We have a specific regulation that deals with that. Why shouldn't that govern over the more general provisions of 3.43, et cetera?
I think the 3.343 is used to as in interpreting 7.528 as far as it's a total rating, which 7.528 provides. And so 3.343, even though it's not written into the regulation of the diagnostic code we're speaking about, it still applies to that diagnostic. If that answers, or if that's on point to what you were getting at.
Well, I was just kind of, you know, Judge Allen makes a case that we could look at this as different than the general run-of-the-mill reduction and say that built into this regulation is the actual process that you follow and the requirements for the, if you want to look at it as a reduction, of the reduction from the 100% to something lesser based on the residuals. That here it is, a standalone complete package of how it's dealt with and how the with the incorporation of 3.105, it incorporates the notice requirements and so the veteran knows what's going on, et cetera. If we follow just the standard canon of construction that says, gee, the specific is going to govern over the general, we'd that tends to favor Judge Allen's analysis, right?
Yes.
How do you get around that?
Could you explain a little more what you mean by specific over the general?
Yeah, there's a canon of interpretation that says when you're looking at regulations or a statute, and you have a specific regulation that deals with a particular matter, and a general regulation that might also cover that same matter, the specific trumps, if you will, the general.
Right, but 3.43, I don't think those two necessarily, they coexist, because the 3.343A requires finding material improvement. That's essentially what the 7528 mandatory examination requirement is asking for, an actual change in the disability, meaning that the malignancy is gone. And so all 3.34A is saying is that examination must show material improvement.
So they're redundant?
They provide for the same thing. Examination, a rating won't be reduced without an examination showing material improvement. 7528 just says that a mandatory examination is necessary. It doesn't necessarily mean that the rating will change.
So Mr. Creek, to follow on Judge Falvey's point, is there a situation in which an exam in this context could show that it's not ongoing, the prostate cancer is not ongoing, it's not recurred, and it's not metastasized, but yet not show material improvement?
Mr. Creek, before you answer that, I see that your time is running down, and I'd just like to have the courtroom clerk add another 5 minutes. Thank you. Go ahead.
It's possible that's a finding that the board needs to make. I would say that in most cases that the actual change, meaning the removal of the malignancy, is going to lead to a finding that the change reflects actual improvement in the ability to function, but that finding was not made here.
Well, isn't the correct standard under 3.343 material improvement under the ordinary conditions of life while actively seeking work or working? Which sounds a little bit different from what you just said the standard was, which sounds like a lower standard. Like, hey, if it's just material improvement, then the fact that the cancer is gone could be material improvement. But if it's, you know, are you working? Are you able to get back to work? I believe is the standard.
Right, under the ordinary conditions.
A little higher.
Right, under the ordinary conditions of life.
So I have an additional question. I just want to make sure. Judge Allen, did you get your question answered there?
Yes, thanks.
Okay, thank you. So, Mr. Creek, you are arguing that the board shouldn't have addressed the current eval for residuals of prostate cancer. And I was a little bit confused by, it seemed like you were agreeing with the secretary at some points and then disagreeing with the secretary. Can you just go through your position on their addressing of the propriety of the 10% eval?
Yes, the first section of the appellant's opening brief is confusing. Section A, we would ask the court does not need to consider that. If the court does not find that the reversal argument is proper, then we would agree with the secretary that remand is warranted for the reasons or basis error on the increased rating aspect of the appeal. I think what was supposed to be conveyed was that because it's a rating reduction claim that Mr. Foster was prejudiced because he wasn't provided notice that he would need to submit evidence to support a higher rating, whereas the rating reduction, the burden is on VA to prove that the total rating is no longer warranted.
Okay, so we ignore that part and you would be satisfied with a remand as to the eval on the 10%?
Yes.
Okay.
So just to conclude, because the reduction was not by operation of law and the board failed to apply pertinent rating reduction regulations and make the requisite factual findings, we ask that the court reverse the board's decision and remand for reinstatement of the 100% rating. If there's no further questions, thank you, Your Honors. I'll reserve the remainder of my time.
Thank you, Mr. Creek. And Mr. Boker, you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Chief Judge Bartley, and may it please the court, the secretary asserts that under the plain language of Diagnostic Code 7528, once the criteria contained in that regulation are met, then the only choice the board has is to rate on residuals voiding dysfunction or renal dysfunction, whichever is predominant, if there is no longer a recurrence or metastasis of the cancer. In this case, Mr. Foster's treatment, last day of treatment was in September 2016, and the VA exam was in June 2017, which is more than 6 months later. That same month, the exam showed that his cancer was in remission. That same month, VA provided notice under Section 3.105. Therefore, if you apply the regulations, plain language, to the facts of this case, then he is no longer entitled to a 100% rating for active cancer, and he is entitled to a rating under his predominant residual avoiding dysfunction. The Secretary also believes that the board correctly applied Rossiello v. Principi. It has remarkably similar language in that diagnostic code to the one here. That one says, at this point, if there has been no local recurrence or metastasis, the rating shall be made on residuals. That the court in that case said that sections 3.343 and 3.344 do not apply. And therefore, contrary to appellant's argument, the holdings in Doffelmayr, Brown, and the other cases that interpret 3.343 and 3.344 do not apply here either. The Secretary does not believe that the addition of an examination or Section 3.105E compliance changes the result. That both the diagnostic code in Rossiello and the one here are minimum timeframes. The one in Rossiello was a 2-year minimum timeframe following treatment. And at the point of when the 2 years expires, if Mr. Rossiello had a local recurrence or metastasis, he would continue to have received the 100% rating. The same is true here. After the 6 months and the mandatory exam, and if there is a local recurrence or metastasis, the 100% rating shall continue. However, by operation of the diagnostic code, if there is no local recurrence or metastasis, the claim is rated on residuals as voiding dysfunction or renal dysfunction, whichever is predominant.
Now, Mr. Boker, as far as your statement about this being very similar to Rossiello, aren't those two differences that you mentioned? I think you only mentioned one of them, but I would say the two differences are the requirement for an exam and the requirement for 3.105E notice and the opportunity that gives the appellant the opportunity to submit additional evidence. Don't those distinguish this case from Rossiello, where the reduction was more automatic because there was nothing that had to occur between the expiration of the time period and the decision that would reduce, supposedly would reduce the eval?
Your Honor, the Secretary believes that it even though this gives additional protection to the veteran by having an additional exam, it doesn't change the result, because in both diagnostic codes, under the plain language of both of them, if there's no recurrence of the cancer, then they say to rate on residuals. Even though the Secretary now obtains a prospective medical examination to determine what the residuals are, that is consistent with what the court did in Rossiello. Mr. Rossiello had provided testimony saying that his cancer was in remission, so the court found that that was adequate to discontinue the 100% rating. But the court found that there wasn't enough evidence to rate his residuals, so the court remanded for an examination, finding a duty to assist violation. The requirement that VA now has to provide an examination automatically sort of just puts that requirement into the diagnostic code to where it's automatic, as opposed to being required by general duty to assist provisions that are in existence.
So your view is that these additional points of process, the 3.105 notice and the ability of the appellant to submit evidence and the examination, are not significant enough to take this out of the characterization of the reduction occurring as an under operation of law or being automatic?
Yes, Your Honor. The Secretary maintains that this regulation continues to be a reduction as an operation of the diagnostic code, as opposed to a reduction based on an improvement in material conditions as explained in the holdings interpreting 3.343 and 3.344, because the diagnostic code itself is, it contains the provisions itself to show how the change, that is the lack of recurrence of metastasis, affects the rating going forward. The cases interpreting 3.343 and 3.344 are providing guidance to VA about how to show the improvement that those regulations discussed. Here, the specific provision of this tells VA what to rate on, as opposed to the more general provisions where VA is trying to determine and improve whether there's an improvement in the veteran's condition.
Thank you. And let me move on to one more point related, but a bit different. You have conceded remand as to the appellant's current eval, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Yes, and that is on the credibility issue?
Yes, Your Honor, that's correct. Okay.
So is that the only basis on which you conceded that remand was warranted?
Yes, Your Honor. The veteran, in his notice of disagreement, essentially argued that he was entitled to a 40% rating by stating that he has he has to change absorbent material twice per day. And the board found that not credible, but didn't cite anything contemporaneous with the 2019 statement to make that finding on. The earlier exams do say that he didn't require voiding material, but it's possible that his condition got worse after those exams.
Uh-huh. And so appellant's point regarding, I guess I might characterize it as every examination has to be adequate under 4.1 and 4.2 and those other regulations. That does not, in the Secretary's view, that does not warrant remand here as well.
The Secretary's view is that the July 2017 examination is adequate as a snapshot of the veteran's picture in July 2017. I would disagree with Mr. Creek's argument that the examination doesn't explain the basis for the finding of the cancer residuals. If you look at page, 463, the examination report contains prostate-specific antigen, complete blood count, and urinalysis results, and as well as the examiner physically examined Mr. Foster. So the Secretary doesn't believe that appellant has pointed out a basis for finding this examination adequate for the purposes of whether he had active cancer at that time. And in addition, there is nothing in the treatment records that conflicts what the examiner found to be the severity of Mr. Foster's voiding dysfunction in July 2017, although it is possible that Mr. Foster's voiding condition got worse after that, because in February 2019, he made the comments about the absorbent materials.
And so his argument about the exam not being as full and complete as the earlier one, and that the examiner didn't look at the records, what is your response to that?
The Secretary's response is that the examiner, although he did not look at the records, he did describe the history of appellant's disability in the medical history section and provide a full and adequate examination to rate appellant's disability as of July 17th going forward, and that the examination was sufficient to inform the board that he was no longer entitled to a rating for active malignancy under the diagnostic code in question, Your Honor.
Thank you. And one additional question, which was probably the most frustrating part of this whole case. why do you have any idea why the board characterized the issue as it did, as entitlement to restoration, when our case law for the last 30 years has basically said, like, characterizing it that way is wrong.
And no, I don't.
Surprisingly, the SOC and the, I believe, the rating decision characterized it correctly.
No, Your Honor, they should not have characterized it that way. They should have characterized it as whether the reduction under the diagnostic code to 10% was proper.
Thank you.
But there are no further questions, Your Honor. The Secretary respectfully asserts that the court find that under the plain language of the diagnostic code, appellant is no longer entitled to 100% rating for active malignancy, and but that remand is warranted because the board did not adequately provide reasons or bases for its finding that a 10% rating is warranted.
Thank you, Mr. Boker. Sorry, I was on mute there. Mr. Creek, you may proceed with rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just three quick points. With regarding the adequacy of the July 2017 VA examination, the examiner also said nothing about the whether cancer spread. It didn't address metastasis at all. As far as the PSA levels of whatever testing was done, there was treatment records from his urologist that say the PSA has limitations as a prostate cancer screening test and that the only way to diagnose or rule out prostate cancer is by a biopsy. And so that is why we were saying the July 2017 examination was not as thorough and complete as the ones used to base the 100% rating to begin with. To Judge Allen, I believe you asked earlier something to the effect that why wouldn't the process here be the same as it would be for a reduction in a total knee replacement? And I think that would fall under the, and correct me if I'm misphrasing that.
Yeah, I was using the example that there's what I call the normal stuff, right? Just normal stuff. And then there are regular, I picked knee out of the air. The idea that for some things, there literally is just a temporal thing. You, if this event happens, you get the rating for Y period of time and then it goes away, right? And I was just suggesting that this is knee, it could be seen as neither one of those types of things. It just creates 100% rating that comes with a whole bunch of strings attached. So it's not a clear 6 months and you're done. It's 6 months and then this thing will happen. And if it shows that, then this other thing will happen. That's what I was trying to say.
Okay. Right. I just didn't know if you were getting to the point about convalescent ratings being different than what we're dealing with here, or if the court viewed this as a convalescent rating.
No, I was using it as an example that convalescent ratings are like their own separate thing. Okay. And this could just be, it doesn't have to be shoehorned into any one of these buckets. It could be its own thing. That's all.
I understand. And then as far as the general versus specific reading into the regulations, we would say that if VA wanted to exclude all other regulations, it would have done so. But all of those regulations under Title IV or whatever the examination, 4.1, 4.2, 4.10, 4.13, those all have to do with rating reductions. So if it wanted to exclude the other ones, it could have done so. With that, I have nothing further, so if there are no further questions.
Yeah, Mr. Creek, I'd just like you to say a few more words about your last point there. The 412, the 4.1 and 4.2, those are, you said those are, those deal only with reductions? Is that what you said? Those have to do with rating in general.
The 4.1 and 4.2 have to do with rating in general. The 4.13 gets into the effect of the change of diagnosis.
Right. And what was the point you were trying to make there as your final point?
That 3.343 would also be they don't have to be read separately. That VA could have separated them but didn't do so. It could have specifically excluded 3.343 from the diagnostic code at issue here.
But it's included because it wasn't specifically excluded. That is your point? Okay, thank you.
I had nothing further. So there are no further questions. Thank you for the first time.
Thank you, Mr. Creek. And thank both parties for their arguments. The case is submitted for consideration and the court is adjourned.
We're in recess.